Yes, I am a guest speaker. This is not my home. Thank you, George, for opening us up in prayer. Every one of us is seeking advice on situations, situations on our life, situations on our jobs, making decisions that we have to do. You made a decision today to come to Wednesday Bible Church, Bible study, prayer meeting. You made that decision. We make decisions every single day. Everybody makes decisions. You make decisions on who your friends are going to be, your job, financial decisions. You seek advice for what to do. You seek advice on how to do certain things. How should I save my money? How should I use my money? What kind of job should I get? Medical advice. We seek medical advice for that also, for certain situations that we have. But we don't want just any advice. We want sound advice. You can ask a person on the street, what do you think? And they'll give you their opinion, but is it solid? You don't want to risk it. You want solid advice, trustworthy advice. You may have to go from one doctor to the next. You may have to do a different way about it, but you still want the best. Home repairs. Making advice, you seek advice on that. Should I have my roof replaced? Should I have this part of my house done over? Should I, my appliances, should I have them repaired or replaced? There's a whole lot of decisions we have to make. A whole lot of decisions we make. We don't think about it, but we do. We make a whole lot of decisions. Auto repairs. Should my auto be repaired? Should it be replaced? Who do I go to? Should I let this friend over here do it? I don't know how well they do a job. But you want the best. Most people do. They want the best. Some people say, well, we're going out to dinner. What restaurant do you want to go to? What you want Mexican, Chinese food? It's a decision. We're making decisions all the time. All the time we're making decisions. Little ones, big ones, but we're making decisions. But we want advice on them. Some people look on the website for consumer reports. If they're going to buy something, purchase something, or have something repaired, they look at the reliability of that product. You want something that's reliable, something that you can trust that's going to last long and do the job. Job advice. What kind of job should I get? I don't know. Maybe I should get full-time job, part-time job. Maybe I get a job where I can learn on the job. Maybe I can get a job where I don't know anybody at the job. It's just a lot of things that we seek advice on. We don't know. Should I take a job promotion? It's been offered to me. Sounds good, but you want advice. What does this job entail? What am I going to miss? Does it take away from me coming to the assembly here? Does it take away from my family time? What's the reputation of the company? How do the employees feel? Are the employees dissatisfied with their job? It's a toxic environment. You don't know. You want advice before you make that decision. And leave the job that you're in and go to another job. Or perhaps you don't have a job and you're seeking a job. How many hours do I have to work? Is it a full-time job? Do I have to work overtime? and be on salary and don't get paid for all the hours that I have? We got to consider those things. Am I going to like the job? Or am I just going there for the money? Will I be able to contribute to the for the job? Advice on marriage. Who do I marry? Should I marry this person? Should they marry me? In the marriage, how to maintain the marriage, how to keep it working. Seek advice. But you don't want to take advice from people who you see, they tell you one thing and they're doing something else. Mm-mm. Their life has to line up with what they're saying. That's the kind of advice you're seeking. Who do I vote for? There are so many people out here that are campaigning to get a position of power. Who do I vote for? Where do they stand on the issues? Got to make a decision. Are you going to ask your friends? Your neighbors, you still have to make that decision yourself. What's it based on? What career should I prepare myself for? Never had a job before. I'm still in school. But I want to further my education when I get out of school, and I want to get a career. What kind of a career should I get? I know somebody that I used to work with. They were teaching, and they said they weren't happy with the job, and they left and went, started another career. They studied to be something else and got a job there. Well, I'll take that back. They went and applied for the job. Well, they took the course. After they got out of the course, they found out there weren't any jobs in that area. So they were stuck. So they went back to the same field they were in before. They didn't do research. They didn't seek advice on what to do. Some people learn the hard way. Some people only want advice from people that are going to tell them exactly what they want to hear. So they'll go to certain people and they say, what do you think? And they know what they're thinking, so they're going to tell them what they want to think, what they're thinking, to please them. But they won't do it themselves. They wouldn't make that choice. But you got to be careful of that. There's scam artists out here also. They'll tell you all kinds of things. I told you my background. I didn't trust people for anything because I saw a lot of stuff going on, and there's a lot more going on now. When you're making a decision, consider the source. Consider the source. That is very important. Consider the source that you're getting your advice from. Our decisions are made according to or conforming to or in line with, or as stated in, or in agreement with, or consistent with, or on the authority of. All these things go back to the source. Am I in agreement? If I have made a decision, is it conforming to what? Where's my source? Am I conforming to the world? So I'm making my decision based on the world. Am I going to listen to people who are wayward? And my decision is based on that. On politics, I'm going to make a decision based on because the person seems a nice person, but the advice isn't good. But I'm going to go along because he seems like a nice person. She seems like a nice person. They wouldn't lead me astray. Oh, yes, they would. Yes, they will. Yes, they will. Your decision, my decision, should be based on facts, not on my opinion, not on your opinion, not on my emotions, not on your emotions. Should not be based on wrong thinking or your memories. Well, this is how I used to do back in the day. I used to do, so it must be pretty good. Maybe you made a bad decision back then and didn't think about it. Maybe you're going to make a decision based on what you did in the past because somebody else did it, but that person later on changed in their opinion and went a different way because their way was wrong, and you're following another person. And you get yourself caught because it was according to what they said, what they wanted to do. You were following them. You were following someone else. You were following a policy that you didn't agree with. The world has clearly shown by its behavior that it has rejected God and the Word of God. Clearly, you can see by the headlines, you can see by the policies that are being made, the direction the world is going, anti-God. So are you going to base your decisions based on the world, following them, being conformed to them, according to what they're doing or saying? No, no, no. But the world is going downhill. The majority of the people in the world are going downhill. And you can see that happening so fast. And I was talking to my brother today, and I rarely see him. But we were talking about, he's not saved, but we were talking about when we were growing up, things that we saw growing up, and things that just happening so fast. No sense at all of what's going on. People just take it in stride because that's the way it is. According to the way it is, that's the way I'm going to go. And people are locked into that. But there are consequences for that. I got a question for you. The world is going in opposite direction from God. But there's still room for cross at the cross. God is still saving whosoever's out of this world into himself. So don't be discouraged. Be encouraged. Do business with him. And what have you done with God's Son and his word? I've just mentioned the world. What are you doing personally? What are you doing with God's Son and God's word? You don't have to answer me now, but you're going to have to answer it sometime. Sometime, sooner or later, you're going to have to answer to what you have done with God's Son. What he did on Calvary's cross for you, for me, if you haven't done it yet. Turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. God's word is settled. That's the authority. God's word. He said it. He meant it. It's settled. You'd be a fool to argue. Fool to argue, and you're a loser if you argue against that. Can't win if you're going to argue against them. I'm going to read a poem that you may have heard before, but it's very, I think it's very powerful to me. Only it's a poem. It's the Holy Bible, the name of the poem. To me, it's like a menu. You go to a restaurant, and there's the menu. And you look at the menu and you say, wow, there's a lot here to eat. So many choices. Where do I start? Where do I start? What do I order? There's so many things. That's what this poem means to me, the Holy Bible. And by the time I finish reading, maybe you understand what I'm talking about. The Bible reveals the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Let that soak in. Its doctrines are holy. Its precepts are binding. Its histories are true. And its decisions are unchangeable. Read it to be wise. Believe it to be safe. And practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's charter. Christ is this grand subject, our good, its design, and the glory of God, its end. You getting the flavor of this? Getting the flavor? There's more. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, and prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. It is given you in life, will be opened in the judgment, and will be remembered forever. It involves the highest responsibility, rewards the greatest labor, and condemns all who trifle with its holy contents. Thus saith the Lord. Genesis 1:1, you don't have to turn there. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Revelation 22:21. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. All that I just read to you in that poem is right here, plus more. Thus saith the Lord. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Turn to Numbers 23. Numbers 23, verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? God cannot lie. Everything that he says in his word, he's going to do, or he's done. He's not going to change his word. But if you let God speak to your heart, he'll change you. And don't be the type of person who walks around with the Bible, carrying it. Let the Bible carry you. There's a big difference. Whole big difference. Let the Bible speak for itself. Don't put your words in it. Let God help you with the understanding. God didn't say, understand everything and you'll be saved. He said, believe Then you understand. God didn't ask us. He said, believe. We can't understand it all. God does. All we have to do is believe. He will work it, everything out for his honor and glory. We may not understand everything. We don't understand everything that happens to us. He does. Just believe that he wants to work in our hearts for his honor and his glory. God does a good work. We foul it up, though. We can foul it up if we're not in tune with him. Let's look at some examples of according to in the Bible. Turn to Genesis 7. Genesis 7, verses 1 through 5. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights. And every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. Lord told Noah what to do. Noah didn't question him. He did it. He didn't know a flood was coming. But he did everything that the Lord told him. He believed what God told him to do. Didn't question. God didn't say he did some of the things. He did all. When God says all, he's not making it up to please us. He did all. Noah did all. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua 1 and verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. That applies to us too. Do everything, follow the directions that God has given us, that are written. According to all that is written, and that shall make thy way prosperous, and then we shall have good success. According to what God has said, that's what we're to do. Psalm 25. Psalm 25, verses 6 and 7. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. According to the Lord's mercies, his tender mercies. Wow. God is a merciful God. His mercies do not diminish. We haven't even tipped the scale of his mercy for us. And his mercies are new each and every day for us. We at times take it for granted. We shouldn't. Psalm 69. Psalm 69, verse 16. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. The multitude of God's tender mercies, according to. That's what the psalmist was saying. According to God's tender mercies. Not my neighbor's mercies. My neighbor doesn't have any mercy towards me. God's mercies. Turn to Psalm 103. Psalm 103, verse 10. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Those of us who know the Lord personally, our sins are forgiven. And I shudder to think about the sins that I committed in the past, sins that I may have committed today, sins I'll commit tomorrow and the days to come. God's not going to hold that to me because of his son, Jesus Christ. I did business on Calvary's cross. And I trust you have done that also. But suppose you hadn't done that. Oh, I can't imagine. The worst time that I've had not being saved, that's the best time I'm going to have here on earth compared to eternity. I can't imagine that. To pay for my sins. I'm so thankful that he did. Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 169. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. We want understanding according to God's word, not to my word, not the pastor's word or the person next to you or people in your home, people in your family. According to what God says, that's who we are to depend on, who we are to believe in. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 and 4. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Did you do business at Calvary's cross? Did you believe that Jesus Christ died for all of your sins? That he was buried, and he rose again? Did you do business with him? If so, your sins are forgiven forever, and you have eternal life. Turn to 2 Corinthians 5. In verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You're a new creature. You're not the same anymore. You're a new creature if you have received the Lord Jesus Christ. A new creature. That's amazing. Amazing. Difference between night and day. Colossians 3, verse Colossians 3, verse 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Put on the new man. You say you've received the Lord? You have? Then put on the new man. Walk as a new man. You're under new management. You have a choice. You have a choice. The old man is still there, rattling the cages, but you have a choice. To follow, to listen to the new man. You're under new management. No excuses. Turn to Galatians 5. Galatians 5, verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. You never had that battle before until you came to know the Lord. You had the new man. You had the old man going against what the new man's doing. You ever heard of a game called Simon Says? Nothing personal. There was a game growing up, when I was growing up, three or more people would be in the game, and one person would be Simon. And Simon would say, Simon says a certain thing. Like you may say, touch your ear. Simon says, touch your ear. So everybody else had to do what Simon says. Simon says, touch your nose. Everybody would touch the nose. Touch your chin. Oh, you're out. Simon didn't say that. You're out. That's how Simon Says went. Well, I played that one time, and I wasn't invited back. I was Simon, and I got tired of playing the game, so I told everybody, I said, Simon says, jump up. Then I said, come down. And they all came down. I said, no, Simon didn't say come down. They didn't like me, so I got them all out, but they got me out, too. They didn't want me in the game anymore. There's a couple of weeks ago, I was at the gym, and there was a boxing class going on. And there was a mother there banging the bags, and her two sons were there. And she was hitting the bag pretty hard. And her sons were banging the bag, too, but they weren't hitting it like the mom. So I walked up to the mom, and I said, you don't play Simon Says with your boys. Play Mama Says. She says, I like that. So that's what I call it from now on. But getting back to believers, we have a sort of Simon Says too. The new man in us says, do this. And the old man says, no, 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 do this. You've been doing this before. It's easier. The old nature wants to battle with the new man in you. You have to make a decision. Before you were saved, you didn't have a decision. You just did. You just did. Or you had a conscience, but you can't go on your conscience because your conscience can be seared. It could be a point where you just don't even just do what you want to do. Don't even think about it. And there's a lot of people who are, I think nowadays are like that, who are unsaved. The new man says, follow me. Follow according to the scriptures. Old man says, nah. Do it this way, the way we've been doing it. Our decisions and our behavior must be according to the new man, Christ in me. Turn to Ephesians 3. In verse 20, Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Inexhaustible power that is in us, Christ in us. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask according to the power, not your power, my power. We don't have any power. Christ is our strength. Colossians 1. Colossians 1, verses 10 and 11. That ye may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Where there is spiritual life, you got to have spiritual strength, and our strength is in Christ. He gives us, he is our strength. Turn to Philippians 4. Philippians 4, verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. According to his riches. How rich? God's riches do not diminish at all. And we're in his Son. We are precious in his eyes. We are a blessed people who know the Lord. Are we allowing the new man to do what he wants to do in our hearts? Or are we allowing the old man to drag us down? That's a decision each and every one of us have to make. A decision we have to make, and we can make that right decision with the help of God, the new man, following him. He's in us and we're in him. Turn to 2 Timothy 1. 2 Timothy 1, verse 9. Who have saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Not according. He didn't save us according to our works. We can't be saved according to our works. Impossible. But there are a lot of people who think that, well, I've done a lot. Good things. I come to church. I bring my Bible. Sing hymns. I don't cause any arguments. I don't have an attitude with anybody. So I must be doing a pretty good job. But you don't see that in the Bible. According to the scriptures, you don't see that. God didn't say that. So that's what we need to go by, according to the scriptures. I owe him. I owe him. We owe him for what he did on Calvary's cross. Decision he made for us. That old nature can really do a number on us if we let it. If we let him. So don't say, I can't do this. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you have Christ in you. You can do this. He can help you to do that. What's right. Don't let the old man talk you out of it. That's a decision. Every day we have to go through that. But one day it'll be gone. We won't have that old nature when we're in his presence. But that'd be a glorious thing. Somebody would say, old nature, what's that? You know, we won't even know. Suppose This is a tough thing I'm going to ask you. Suppose we were to pray that everyone's physical health would be according to your spiritual health. How would that work out? I shudder to think. I hope and pray that all of our spiritual health would be lively, full of the grace of God, healthy. And then our bodies, even though our bodies are deteriorating, doesn't matter. We're getting a new body anyway. So don't let your body control you. I know people are going through tough situations, but let God work in your heart. Let him work. Let him do that wonderful work according to the scriptures. What he said he's going to do, what you allow him to do. If you're losing the battle with the old man, it's probably because you're feeding the old man more than you are the new man. Think about that. You're probably feeding the old man more than the new man. I can't leave you like this. So in closing, let's turn to Galatians 5. Galatians 5, verse 16. We'll close with this verse. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Believing, trusting the Lord, the new man. Walk in the Spirit. Victory over the old nature. According to the scriptures, believe, trust the Lord. Feed on his word. Feed the new man. You're a new man in Christ, a new creature. Put off the old man, put on the new man. And glorify the Lord in every decision that you make, every decision that you want to make, seek his advice. He's good. He will not let us down. He wants the best for us, and the best is his son.